study of Parshas Bereishis, let's begin to analyze some of the differences between Perek Aleph of Bereishis and Perek Beis, specifically as it relates to the function or the responsibility and goal of man. Much has been said about the difference between Perek Aleph and Perek Beis. We'll focus on one particular point. In Perek Aleph, we'll read Psukim Chav Zayin and Chav Ches. Vayivarech Elokim es Ha'odom B'tzalmo. Vayivra Elokim es Ha'odom B'tzalmo. Please emphasize the word Vayivra, Bria. And the Pasuk says, Zachar Unekeva Bara Osam. Let's emphasize those words. Man was created Zachar Unekeva. And then the Torah says, "Vayivarech Osam Elokim, Vayomer Lehem Elokim, Pru Urevu Umelu Es Haaretz VeKivshua." Man is called upon to populate the world and to subdue the entire world. Uredu B'Gas Hayom Ba'Uf Hashamayim B'Chol Chaya Haromeses Al Haaretz. And there's a bracha here to man that he should multiply and be able to fill up the entire earth. Let's read the Ramban's comment on a pasuk Umilu es haaretz. The Ramban explains, Bracha shimalu es haolam lerubam. In other words, God bestowed upon man a blessing that mankind should fill the entire world with their rubam, with their multitudes. Ulafi daiti, but the Rabbah now offers a slightly different perspective. Yivarech osam shimalu kol haaretz. This is a bracha that they should fill the entire earth. And what does that mean? The paradu hagoyim lemishpachosam bekatzve sevel lerubam. In other words, there should be various peoples, mishpachos, goyim, different nations, different families that will come into existence, and they will split into different families that will populate all the way to the ends of the earth with their multitudes. And this second shot, the Ramban's second shot, is different than the first. In other words, the bracha was not that human beings would actually fill up the earth because of their numbers, but rather they should form communities and settle in the far-flung ends of the earth. So it's not just, in a sense, a natural consequence of their multitudes, but that this is really what they're going to do. They got the bracha from Hashem, and this is what they have to do. And what they shouldn't do is, v'lo yiu b'makom echad b'machsheves k'machsheves Anshei Dara Floga. The Dara Floga had the plan that the people would be together in one place. And that's what Hashem is saying, no. Yipardu Agon Shkosu Bekatzvei Seva L'Ruba. They should separate into different families and populate even the far, vast areas at the end of the earth. And they shouldn't be B'makom Echad. So in essence, what the Rabban is telling us here is that the machshava of the Dara Flogu was antithetical to what Hashem had in mind and his goal for man. The Gon, in his Ateres Elio, he expands upon this. He says the chait of the Dara Flogu was that they initiated a plan that was antithetical to the intention of Hashem in creation. God's intention was not that they should all be gathered in one place. That was the intention of the Dara Floga. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Gaon, was Horeis Atzosam. He completely undermined their idea and their plan, their scheme, and therefore they were not able to successfully do that. On the contrary, they were spread out throughout the world. In any event, we learned that it was the Ratzon of Hashem that man and his children, his descendants, should fill up the land, the entire globe, Yichbeshua, and they should subdue it. That's as far as Perek Aleph of Sefer Bereishis is concerned. But now we look at Perek Beis, and let's open up to Pasuk Ches of Perek Beis. And the pasuk says the following. Vayita Hashem Elokim Gan Be'eden Mikedem Vayosem Shom Esa'odom Asher Yotzar. God specifically created one place called Gan Eden, and he planted this garden and placed man in that area. Now you may say, well, man had to be placed somewhere, so it's not like he's circumscribing man and limiting him to one particular area. But if we take a look a little further in Pasuk Tes Vav of Perek Beis, and there the Torah says, Vayikach Hashem Elokim es ha'odah v'enicheu v'gan Eden li'ovda u'l'shamra. Man is placed in Gan Eden to work it and to guard it. And one would certainly get the impression that, at least from the perspective of Perek Beis, man has one particular makom, and that's where he's meant to be. He's not meant to be spread out throughout the earth. But li'avdil l'shamra, I mean, that he has a goal and a responsibility in that particular location. So, from the perspective of Perek Aleph, other Barishan would have Zera, and they would live throughout the entire globe. From the perspective of Perek Beis, the place and the location of Adam HaRishon was in Gan Eden, and it would seem that that's where they should be, and that's where the ball stops. Li'avdil l'shamra, that's their goal, and that's their responsibility. So the question is, what is the place of man? Is man all over the globe and meant to inhabit and dwell and settle with throughout every far-flung area in the globe, or is man focused totally in one area, meaning in Gan Eden, li'avdil l'shamra, that's his purpose, that's his responsibility? And it all depends on your perspective. If your perspective is Perek Aleph, then man is all over the place. If your perspective is Perek Beis, then man is limited to Gan Eden. Add to that the fact that, as we saw in Perek Aleph, the Torah says, Vayivra Elokim es ha'adam. Man is created with the word Bria. However, if you take a look in Perek Beis, there the Torah says, "Vayita Hashem Elokim es ha'adam asher yotzar." Man is subject to yitzira, not to bria. So that when the Torah tells us the story about the creation of man in Perek Beis, and we'll soon see that man is put to sleep, etc., etc., there it's vayotzar. There it's Yetzira. And that's the perspective of Perek Beis. So let's open to Perek Beis, Pasuk Hey. And there it says, Pasuk Zion, it says, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim es ha'adam. It doesn't say Vayivra, as it had said in Perek Aleph. So what's the difference between Bria and Perek Aleph and Yetzira in Perek Beis? And finally, the third distinction in contrast between the two Prok and the two records of the creation of man is that whereas in Perek Aleph, the Perek of Bria, it says Zachar Unikeva Bara Osam, male and female are created. Whereas in Perek Beis, we're going to have the whole story of man being put to sleep, and female is created from the tzela. The Ramban, perhaps, is addressing this question. Let's open up to the Ramban back in Perek Aleph, in Pasuk Chavav. The Ramban's language is the following. V'chein, mashomer zachar unikeva bara osam, ki haisa bria mitchila mizachar unikeva vinishmaso klula bahem. With regard to bria of Perek Aleph, the Ramban claims that from the start the bria was zachar unikeva, and the emphasis here is on the neshama. Now that both zachar unikeva are included, are integrated into one whole in the neshama. Aval ha-yitzira, says the Ramban, now he's referring to Perek Beis, ha-yitzira li-adam, meaning only for male, Ubinyan Selo Leisha Kasher Yisaper Basof. Lachain Hizkir Kan Bria Ubipash Shalmata Hizkir Yitzira. He says, whereas here in Perek Aleph, the term is Vayivra's Bria, and the Bria relates to the neshama which is combined of both male and female. In the neshama, there's no distinction between one gender and the other. But in Perek Beis, where Hashem is doing the Yetzirah, that Yetzirah is male alone, and the creation of female from the Tzela of male. So Bria refers to the neshama, and Yetzirah refers, I guess you could say, to the guf. We'll try to clarify this as we go along. There were two parts to the Bria of Adam and Chava. There was one Bria in which the neshama was klula, had included in it both Adam and Chava, Adam the Ishto. She was created together with him. And on top of that, there was the Yetzirah, in which they were separate one from the other. And again, going back to the Gaon and Aderes Eliyahu, who seems to elucidate this, he says, V'amar, with regard to the first creation, Vayivra, hu Brias HaNeshama. So the Gaon is very explicit here, that Vayivra is relating to the Neshama. We saw it in the Ramban. And he says, V'hu B'Tzalmo. The word B'Tzalmo here, in Perek Aleph Pasuk Chavav, is a reference to the Bria of the Neshama. And then the Gaon gives a grade. He says, Vahu Ikar Adam. That's the essence of man. Haguf Nikra Basar HaAdam. The guf, on the other hand, is the flesh of man. But the Adam himself is the Tzelem Elokim, is the Neshama. The Achar Kach, and later on, meaning in Perek Beis, Pirei HaKosuf Seder Briyasam, so in stage number one, which is reflected in Perek Aleph, man was made up of a neshama, which was klula mishtayim, and both Adam and Chava. The achach chilek l'shtayim, v'zeu shomer b'tzelem v'chule ki nishmas hazochem v'nekeimahim b'shleimus. The word tzelem is a reference to the neshama, which is perfect. And the perfection of the neshama is male and female together. The two dimensions create one perfection, one whole in the neshama. The nikru adam. And that combination is called adam. That is the tzelem, and that is the neshama. Kamo shahamru, kol ashori, quotes the Gemara in Kiddushin, kol ashori below isha, Gemara in Yevamos, excuse me, kol ashori below isha, Eino Adam, Shedemar Zachor, Nekeva Bar'am, Vayikra Shmo Adam. So the Gemara actually proves from our pasuk in Perek Aleph that male without female is not really an Adam. An Adam is both male and female together, reflecting the Neshama and the Bria. Again, the emphasis on the word Bria. And Vayikra Shmo Adam. Bria is the Bria of the Neshama. And with regard to the Neshama, there are two parts of male and female, but they are integrated to form one indivisible whole. When we get to the guf, that's Perek Beis, that's where male is created first as one guf, and female is created from the body of male. All that is called Yetzirah, and the Yetzirah is a reflection of the guf, the creation of the guf. In English it's very hard, because both Bria and Yetzirah translate the same identical word as creation. But in Lashon Kodesh, which is more essential, that goes back to the Shorash HaDofer, there is a fundamental difference in Bria and Yetzirah. You know, in the physical world, man was not the first creation. You know, there was no Yesh Me'ayin with regard to the Guf Adam. The Guf Adam was the Yetzirah, whereas the Neshama, which is reflected in Vayivra Elokim Es HaAdam in Perek Aleph, that is an absolute creation, Yesh Me'ayin, that's Bria. In any event, we see clearly from the Aderes Eliyahu of the Gaon that Bria relates to the Neshama of man, and I think we could probably say that the Ramban, although maybe less explicit so, is also on the same page. He explains in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, what it says about Adam Bria and the Bria of man, in a sense, is very unique, because the only time we find Bria is the first day of creation with regard to the Taninim. So let's see what the Ramban has to say about the Taninim. The Ramban writes, Vayivra Elokim es ha-taninim ha-gdolim. Earlier the Ramban had said that the word Vayivra, to create, would only describe something yesh me'ayin. How does this verb Vayivra describe the creation of these giant, sea giants, of these Taninim? After all, the Taninim presumably were made from some pre-existing substance, which in fact the Ibn Ezra uses this pasuk Vayivra Elokim es ha-taninim as a question, as a counter argument, to disprove and undermine the Ramban's assumption that Bara refers to Yesh Me'ayin. In any event, the Ramban Lashitos says, Bavur Godol HaNivroim Ha'ele Parsos Rabos, because of the great size of this creature, Yesh Me'ayin Arkam, in the sheer size of these creatures, some of them are so long, their Orech is Parsos Rabos. Many parsos. A pars itself is 2.5 miles. And we're talking about many parsos. Look how many parsos the Ramban is referring to. The Greeks in their history books claim that there were some of these creatures that were as long as 500 parsos, which if you multiply 500 times 2.5 miles, you know, you're talking about a massive Rabosenu Gamkin and Fligubahem, and the Gemara Baba Basra also describes them with great haflogos as how the size of them. Bavur Zeh, because of this, Yiches Bahem Abriol Elokim. It's as if God had actually created these creatures. Ki Hu Shem Tziyom Me'ayin Mibreshis. In other words, he's the one who brought them about from nothingness at the time of creation. So here, I mean, the Ramban is a little bit unclear. Is the Ramban saying that the Torah is using the word Bria here to describe some sort of phenomenal creature, as if he was created Yesh Me'ayin, or is the Ramban actually saying that these Taninim were created Yesh Me'ayin? I'm not too sure about, but in any event, the Ramban is clearly explaining that the Chomer Hiyuli, which was the original matter that was created Yesh Me'ayin, and everything else was created from it, and everything else is called Yetzira, and from this Chomer Hiyuli, which had in it inherently the potential of all the creations in the future, when they came into existence as Yetzira, here, in the case of Taninim, the Torah uses the verb Bria, which means Yesh Me'ayin, to stress that these creatures were also included within the original Bria. That's what the Ramban would seem to be saying on one level of Pashtus. And then the Ramban goes on to say the following. He says, and this is perhaps the punchline for us, that we find the word Bria here in Pasuk of Zion with regard to the creation of man. And why is man a Bria? And the answer is, says the Ramban, V'chein yaseh ba'odom lima'aloso lahudia ki hu mutza me'ayin imdaito v'sichlo. And perhaps what the Ramban is saying is that Adam, at least in one, from one perspective, in one dimension of man, is really neshama, and therefore is subject to Bria. There's a Yesh Me'ayin in creating the soul of the neshama of man, and the Torah wants to say Vayivra Adam to tell us that man was created Yesh Me'ayin insofar as his das and seichel, his intelligence, is concerned. And the intelligence that the Ramban is speaking about here is the intelligence of man's neshama. Now, let's see if we can study another presentation of the Ramban here that would further perhaps complicate the situation or perhaps elucidate the situation with regard to what the Ramban here describes as the Seichel, which is the essence of the greatness of man, because this separates man from all the other creatures. The Ramban goes into this in his commentary on the pasuk Vayipach bi'apov nishmas chayim. Let's open up to the Ramban there in Perek Beis, pasuk Zayin. The Ramban on Vayipach bi'apov nishmas chayim. Just one second. Ramban says the following. First, he tells you that Yirmos Lonu Hakos Vazem Milas Hanefesh Yisoda Vesoda. The Torah is giving us a remez to the great nature of the human soul. Yisoda, I guess, means its fundamental elements. Vesoda, its mystical roots. Ki Hizkir Boshem Mole. The name of Hashem here is a shame mole. So you read the pasuk, it says Vayitzar Hashem Elokim. Hashem Elokim meaning both names of God. And that indicates, says the Ramban, that man has a very exalted soul. The Omar ki hu nofach bi'apov nishmas chayim. He, meaning Hashem, blew into his, meaning man's nostrils, the soul of life. Lo diaki lo ba'abo mina yisodos. That this neshama, this soul of man, does not come from the elements which are physical in nature. Gam lo bishtalshalus mina scholim anivdolim. Nor is man somehow developed out of the angels. Aval hi ruach Hashem agadol mipiv das usvuna. In other words, there's a spirit of God that's blown into man. Ki hu ki anofeach bi'ape acher minishmaso yitembo. Hanofeach bi'ape acher, if someone blows into someone else's nostrils, then minishmaso yitembo, he gives him his own breath. Which seems to mean that the Ramban is using the term neshama as both a breath and a soul. V'zeu shenemer v'nishmas shaddai tevinei m'posuk in Iov, which Ramban claims adds something to this whole discussion. After that, the Ramban has a presentation based on Kabbalah, Kihi miyisod habina b'derech emes v'emuna. We'll leave this out for the time being, but we'll fast forward to the paragraph that starts with Avol Unkelus, and this is a reference to the fact that man has three souls, which Ramban had earlier quoted, and he had mentioned different statements in Chazal that would support that perspective. What we're going to look at first is Unkelus. Says the Ramban, Avol Unkelus Omar v'ahava bi'odom l'ruach memalala. In other words, this soul of life here that the Torah is talking about, Nishmas Odom, is really the power of speech. In other words, God blew into Odom the soul of speech, Ruach memalala. You get the impression that first Adam was created as a kind of a golem, as a kind of a body, but he had no power of intellect. And then Hashem, in the pasuk of Vayipach Biap of Nishmas Chaim, is blowing into man the intellect. which in the language of the Ramban is Nira Shadaiti Kidivrei HaOmrim Sheheim Bo Nefasho Shonos. This interpretation of Unkelus reflects the opinion that there were three different souls in man, or three different faculties of man. And Vizos HaNefesh HaMaskeles, and the third element of man's soul is called the Nefesh HaMaskeles, Asher Nofcha Hashem V'Apov. So Nefesh HaMaskeles means the rational or the intellect of man, that element of the soul of man, is now being blown through the nostrils into man. Asher Nofcha Hashem V'Apov. So that soul, the Nefesh HaMaskeles, is now being blown into man's nostrils. And Hoysa Bo L'Nefesh Medaberes. And that makes man, through this intellect, this Nefesh HaMaskeles, he gave man the capacity to speak. Man is granted the capacity to speak once he is rational, and that rational quality is the Vayipach V'Apov Nishmas Chaim. And the Ramban embellishes this when he says, V'chein nirli midas rabosenu mimasha omru rava bora gavra. The Ramban quotes a very unique Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, Samachayim and Beis. The Gemara says there that Rava created a human being. Shadre lekami de Rav Zera, Rava sent him in front of Rav Zera, v'havim ishtoile, v'lo ishte, Rav Zera called out to him, but he didn't respond. Omar, so he said, demin chavraya at, you know, it's you were created by one of our colleagues, one of the rabbis. Tuv liafrach, and go back to your dust. In a sense, Rabbi Zera put this golem to death. And what we see from this Maisa in the Gemara in Sanhedrin is that you can have the human form, but without the soul Maskeles and the ability to speak and to respond, he is not really a human being. He may have one physical element in the human being, but he doesn't have the Nefesh HaMaskeles, and therefore he's not a human being, and that's probably why Rav Zera was allowed to put him to death. Ubevayikra Rabba, now the Ramban refers to the story of Rav Ovin, Bishosha Odom Yoshen, even when a person is asleep, to some extent, Haguf Omer Laneshoma, Vaneshoma Omer Slanefesh, and Nefesh Omer Slamalach. There's an entire Chagad over here, and there are different souls in man. One is communicating to the other. There's the body, the neshama of the soul, the neshama of the malach. I mean, it's very complicated here. This is a little bit beyond our comprehension, but what I wanted to point out to you is the next part of the Ramban. We'll fast forward to V'im Kain. Says the Ramban, V'im Kain, according to this interpretation, Yomar HaKosav Vayitzar Hashem Elokim HaSa'odom. Again, we were emphasizing in Perek Beis, the Vayitzar, the Yitzira, is Yitziras Tnua. The Yitzira is referring to mobility. Shahaya HaAdom Notzar Klomar Bal Tnua. Man is being, instead of created, we'll call it formed, in the word Yitzira, because he now has the potential of mobility. So obviously he's talking about the physical creation of man, or forming of man. Ki ha Yitzira hi hachius vahergesh shebahem hu Adam. So this concept of Yitzira is a reference to chius, to life, and hergesh meaning feeling, shebahem hu adam. And this is where man completes his being, lo gibel ofer, he's not just a clump of earth. Ukmo shomar v'yitzar Hashem elokim min adam, min adama Kol Chayas Hasod Vayova La'odom. That we find even with regard to beasts in the field, the word forming or Vayitzer, because the word Vayitzer describes the creation of animals because they have life, they have mobility. What they're missing is the neshama, the nefesh of intellect. And the word Vayitzer or Yotzar is appropriate whenever we're talking about something that's, in a sense, common to both animals and man, this chius and hergesh, which is the physical dimension, the achrei sheyitzaro bargosha, after man was created, but again, not created, because we're talking about yitzira, he was formed with and endowed with mobility, and then not only mobility, but also the ability to feel. Nafach the ap of nishmas chayim. Now comes the main dramatic creation of man, the pi elyon, and this was the vayipach the ap of nishmas chayim that the Ramban is focusing on. Lahosif hanefesh azos al yitzira nizkeres. So the nefesh or the nishmas chayim, which was created bria yesh me'ayin, is now being added into the physical yitzira of the guf ha'adam. And that combination thereof is what man is all about. And the Ramban finishes it up by saying, Vayehi ha'adam kulo l'nefesh chaya. And what does this mean? That man now becomes in his entirety, in the combination of these two elements, nefesh chaya, a living soul. Okay, so the Rabban says, ki ba neshama zos yaskil v'yadaber. It's the neshama that engenders within man the capability of reasoning and speaking. Uba, and through this neshama, yasek ha'maisav, he determines all his actions. Man acts out of the decision of the neshama hamaskeles, and the dibur also comes from this neshama maskeles. V'chol ha'nefashos, v'kochosom la'tiyah. And all the various souls of man and their capabilities belong to the neshama. So that's the Ramban over here, which begins and ends with the composite nature of man and his uniqueness. So it comes out like this. If we now sort of take an overview of what we've said until now in the summary to see where we were going with this, without the Nishmas Ruach Chaim, Vayipach V'Yapov, man has chius, he has argosha, he has all the powers of an animal, but nothing more. Only through the neshama, which is a ruach chayim, does man have the capacity to think, to analyze, the intellect, and dibur, the ability to speak. And that makes him into a yaskil v'yadaber. That is the neshama. The Ramban identifies this with the neshama. And if that's the greatness of man, in comparison to all the other creatures, it's only through this koach that man could control the other creatures. In other words, what we see in Perek Aleph, and this is what we began our discussion with, is the bracha that Hashem bestows upon man of Puruvu Milus Hartz Vikiv Shua. And that's the same man of Vayivra and Bitsalmo, which the Ramban identifies with the neshama. The neshama is created in Perek Aleph through Bria, and it refers to that specific capacity, if you will, of man through his neshama, that he could fulfill this blessing of Vikiv Shua, because this defines man's greatness above and beyond all other creatures. Man is endowed with this power, which allows him to be sholeit, to control and subdue all the other creatures, and to fulfill what God said, v'kivshua. And therefore the parasha of Mil'u es ha'aretz v'kivshua is formulated dafka here with the Bria of Adam, because the Bria of the Adam in Perek Aleph is the Bria of the Neshama, and the Neshama contains within it the capacity of both, as we said, intellect and speech, but in any event, the capacity to fulfill the divine will of the Kivshua. If you remember, the Ramban has already said that the Dar Floga wanted to undermine that. But the Kivshua means that man has to stretch out to the distant, far-flung parts of the earth. He has to settle it and subdue it and control all other creatures on the face of the earth. That means there are wild beasts and animals. He's got to make sure that once he sets up an urban center, he's in total control over the animals. And that's only possible under the Bria aspect of man, namely the Neshama, which is the Nefesh HaMaskeles. That's what gives man a superiority over the animal kingdom. If you take a look at man from the perspective of Perek Beis, meaning the Yetzira of man, which is the Yetzira of the goof of man, then if we isolate that dimension of man, the Yetzira dimension of man, man does not have the capacity to fulfill the Kivshua. So the Kivshua of man subduing the entire globe, the entire earth, and all the far-flung places, that's only under the Bria of the Neshama of man, of Perek Aleph. It is totally out of place within the context of Perek Beis, which is the Yetzira of Adam. So let's see if we can somehow find now an answer to that question about why man in Perek Beis is limited to one particular location. It's no longer the Kivshua. Man is no longer being spread out throughout the earth. And in order to understand the contrast, you know, the sharp revelation, if you will, of Perek Beis, we're going to take a look at the Ramban in his analysis of Gan Eden. Because again, we saw that man was constricted in Perek Beis, in the Perek of Yetzirah, to Gan Eden. What is the essence or the reality of Gan Eden? And here the Ramban, in Perek Gimel, when he speaks about Adam HaRishon being exiled from Gan Eden, that's where I believe the Ramban reveals something about the nature of Gan Eden. So we're looking now in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Chaf Beis. And let me see if I can find the Ramban. The Ramban says, V'dava ha'amen, the Ramban's talking about knowledge and belief, ki Gan Eden ba'aretz, there's a Gan Eden, which is a real, you know, physical location on the face of the globe of the earth. Ubo eitz hachaim veitz hadas, that's where you find these two trees. Umisham yetze hanar v'pared li'arba roshim hanirim lanu. From that particular location on the face of the earth, there's a river that emerges and divides into four tributaries, which we saw earlier in Perek Beis of Sefer Bereishis. And the Ramban says, Hanirim Lanu, and we can see them in our day. You know, it's not something that's esoteric, that's metaphysical. Ki Pras, the Euphrates, the Artsenu Ubugvulenu, meaning we can find it in Eretz Yisrael. Keep in mind the Ramban reached Eretz Yisrael towards the end of his life. And he says, the Euphrates is within the bounds of Eretz Yisrael. Upishon, and the second branch is Nilus, is the Nile of Mitzrayim, and this is based on Divrei HaRishonim. He probably refers to Rav Sajigon and other Rishonim. Aval kasher heim ba'aretz, but you should know, says the Ramban, that just as these things exist here on earth, kein yesh b'shamayim dvarim yikaruchim, so too you find in heaven things that correspond, that are called by these very names. Wow, you know, this is a heavy concept of their two existences, and they parallel each other, one up in Shemayim and one down on earth. V'heim li'ela yisot. Now, that's a difficult three-word phrase to translate. Heim li'ela yisot. It sounds like heim is referring to what's yesh ba'shamayim, and those
Li'ela, for those that are down on earth, are the yisod, I guess you'd say the source or the root. So the root of Gan Eden down here is up in Shamayim. K'mosha Amru, and here he refers to a medrash in Shir Shirim, Heviani HaMelech HaDarav, the king has brought me into his chambers, in the first parak of Shir Shirim, Melamed Sha'aset HaKadosh Baruch Hu Laharos Es Yisrael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu one day down the line in the future will show Klal Yisrael, Ginzei Maron Chadorim Sheba Shamayim, the hidden treasures on high in the chambers of heaven. Okay, this is all very, shall we say, esoteric. But in any event, the Dover Acher, I think, is important. In the next line, the Ramban writes, Dover Acher, Eviyani HaMelech HaDarav, Elu Chadrei Gan Eden, Mikan Amru, Kemasa Rakia Kachmasa Gan Eden. In other words, what we see down here on this earth, we'll call it the structure of Gan Eden, is reflected a mirror image of the structure of the Rakia of Gan Eden up in Shamayim. That's what the Ramban is telling us here. Kemaisa Rakia, Maisa Gan Eden. The Ramban doesn't stop there. He says, Vanoros Keneged Arba Machnos Shebadorom, the four rivers that come out of Gan Eden correspond to the four camps Shebamorim in the heavens. Okay, there are different camps of Malachim that serve the Shechina, and the four rivers correspond to four camps up in Shemayim, camps of Malachim. Misham Yimoshech Koach HaMalchuyus Shebaaretz. From there, again up in these heavenly camps of angels, Yimoshech emanates Koach HaMalchuyos Shebaaretz, the power of all the earthly kingdoms. Meaning the kings here on earth get their power from these Malachim up in Shamayim. K'moshe Kosev, and he quotes Pasuk Yeshayahu HaNavi, Al Tzva HaMarom BaMarom V'al Malchei HaAdama BaAdama. The Kach Omer Breishis Rabba Bar Roshin Elu Dalit Malchios. So the Chazal tell us that there are hosts in heaven, and these are the sources of the kings down here on earth. There are four branches that allude to the four kingdoms that ruled over Klal Yisrael throughout history. We find the Nebuchadnezzar and others. These are the four kingdoms. And the Ramban says that these kingdoms that ruled over Israel throughout history, the first name of which is Pishon, is a reference to Bavel, and Advarim Hanikroim Eitz Chaim v'Eitz Hadas Lamala. There is such a thing as an Eitz Chaim and Eitz Hadas up in the heavenly spheres. Sodom Naale V'Niskav. Now, there's some sort of lofty and esoteric significance on a mystical level to these creatures on high, or sources or powers on high. And the Ramban is implying that this is already too, you know, beyond the purview of his Pirush al Torah. And here at the end of this presentation, the Ramban says, "Ve'ha'adam chata b'pri eitz hadas tachton v'elyon." The sin of man not only was down here below on earth in the physical tree, which is called the Eitz Hadas, but also in the, somehow had a ripple effect and affected even the supernal tree, the spiritual tree on high, b'maisa u'b'machshava, through both deed and thought. And then the Ramban wants to prove that that within this parsha of Eitz Hadas, there are some elements of metaphors. V'im hoya ha'eitz tov li'odom l'machal v'nechmod elav l'haskil lama mino mimenu. And the Ramban is asking a question that since this Eitz Hadas was good for man, as I state, the Pasuk says, Tov li Adam, and it was Nechmad Elov, it was desirable for him, and Lahaskil, it was a means to sharpen his awareness, so why did Hashem prevent him, enjoin him from eating it? Fellow Kim Hu Atova Metav, after all, God is good, he wants to bestow good. Velo Yimnat Tov Laholchim Besamim, he certainly would not, you know, try to block man from enjoying the good. And he describes man as Holchim Betamim. So how do we reconcile the fact that on the one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never withholds good from man, and yet he doesn't give Adam HaRishon permission, license to eat from the Eitz Hadas, when l'chora the eating of the Eitz Hadas would have been a good thing for Adam HaRishon? Apparently we have to derive from this that it's not a good thing for Adam HaRishon to eat from the Eitz Hadas. And why is that? Eating from the Eitz Hadas would be mazik, would engender more negative and damage than we would get the impression when we read the story at a simple pshat. And therefore the Ramban is going to assume, as he says, that lo yimna tov laholchem besamim v'anochash ein bo hayom nefesh medaberes, the nochash today does not have the capacity of rational thought, he does not have the power of speech. So the nochash should not have been able to speak, and yet the Torah describes the nochash as speaking. So there must be a number of different metaphorical elements to the story. V'im hoisebo mitchila hoyamazkir bekilaloso she'olem piv. And if you want to suggest, says the Ramban, that originally the Nochash had the power of speech, but that was removed as part of his punishment, then the Pasuk should have mentioned somewhere in this description that the klal of the curse is that no longer could the Nochash speak. He was now silenced. Ki hi haisalo klala nimretzes mikulam, and that would have been the worst klal, the worst curse at all, yet there's no mention of this in the Pasuk, and therefore the Ramban concludes over and over again from all these proofs that there's more to the story of the Eitz Hadas than what we see on the surface of the level when we read the Pesukim Kipshutam al kol elad dvarim kfulim. But we rather have to assume that everything that happens in the story of Gan Eden is kafel, it has a dual significance. Hagoli vechosum bohem emes. There's that which is apparent, but then there's a hidden meaning, and both are true. And therefore, Ramban now quotes a Medrash Rabbah that, on the other hand, seems to take a more simple understanding of the story of Adam HaRishon and his living in the Gan Eden. And the Medrash Rabbah says that what the Torah says here is not exactly as it appears to be. In other words, the Medrash Rabbah is going to support the Ramban's position that a lot more Yosef Mikosov Masha Kosov Khan. The comment of the Medrash Rabbah is the following: Li Ovda Ulashomra Elu Akarbonos, that when Adam HaRishon is called upon to work the land of Gan Eden, to guard it, and this is a reference to Karbonos, that's a whole different pshat than when we read the Psukim. Shenemar Tavdunas Alukim Alahar Azeh, we have a Pasuk in which the word Ta'avdun comes from the word Eved, and that's a reference to the Har Hazeh. And according to the Medrash, the Har Hazeh, Hadou Dixiv Tishmu Lahakriv Livimoado, that's a reference. The word Tishmu is a reference to offering Karbonos at the proper time. So we have the Avdus Vashem Al Har Hazeh, which is a reference to Karbonos. And these karbanos are not only avdus, but they're also shmira. So liavdu l'shamra, working and guarding the Garden of Gan Eden, is an allusion to karbanos. And this must be referring to the to not the Gan Eden down here, but the heavenly Gan Eden. Says the Ramban, Ramzo ki akarbonos, Ramzu ki akarbonos, Yatzmichu viyagadlu b'yitzachayim v'yitzadas v'chol atze Gan Eden. So we'll try to see if we can interpret that line. But more important, I think what we want to get out of this entire presentation of the Ramban about Gan Eden is that although Gan Eden is a reality down in this world, it's a physical location on the face of the globe, but it also is nichbal, it has another corresponding existence, which is also Gan Eden, up in Shamayim. And the Ramban proves this in the last piece in the Ramban that we just saw from the Medrash Rabbah, that Li'avdo L'Shamro is a reference to Karbanos. Now, how does the Ramban see in this Medrash about Karbanos that Gan Eden is Nichbal? There's a Gan Eden not only down on this earth, but a Gan Eden up in Shamayim. And I think to understand the Ramban, we're going to have to look at the Ramban's understanding of Li'avdo L'Shamro, which he interprets back in Perek Beis as a reference to Karbanos, in fact. And the Ramban writes the following. Now the Ramban, in this context, in Perek Beis, Pasuk Ches, is bothered by the question of Li'avdo L'Shamro. When we're talking about Gan Eden, does Gan Eden really require that other Marishon work it and guard it? Rabbo Seinu Nisar Bozeh, Chazal were also bothered by this question. V'omru Bereshis Rabba, Li'avdo L'Shamro Eila Karbonos. Shenemar, Tavdun Es Helokim, Hadoduksiv Tishmu Lakriv Libimoado. And this we saw in the Ramban in Perek Gimel. Here, the Ramban in Perek Beis gives us a little bit of an explanation as to what this enigmatic midrash is referring to. What the Chazal are trying to convey to us is that all plants and all living things somehow gain their life force from something up in Shemaim, supernal forces. Kochos Elyonim, mehem yavo lehem agidul. And whatever growth they have down on earth in the biological universe is a result of the emanations from the higher worlds. Which literally translates as the offerings, meaning the karbanos, through these karbanos, there's a flow of bracha, or perhaps we could call it shefa, of blessing that passes to the Elyonim, and from the Elyonim, it sort of transfers to the Tzimchei Gan Eden, the plants of Gan Eden. So again, the plants of Gan Eden are getting their source and their power from the Elyonim, and the Elyonim are getting their power from the Karbanos. Umihem yiyu v'yichyu ba'olam. Begishmei ratzon u'bracha sheyigdulu ba. And from mehem, from them, meaning from the, I guess you'd call it the tzmachim up in Shamayim, these plants down on earth gain their existence, their being, and this is called in the Ramban's language Gishmei Ratzon Ubracha, the rains, again Gishomim are rains, of Ratzon, of God's goodwill and blessing, Sheyigdalu Ba, so that they can grow in this world. So this whole process of growth in this world through the rains that fall from heavens is all a result of the plants, so to speak, up in the supernal worlds, and those in turn get their power from the karbanos. Kmo she'amru, yisbu atzei Hashem arzei levonon asher nota. This is a pasuk in Tehillim, and the pasuk in Tehillim, as the Chazal understand it, the Atzei Hashem is a reference to the Eitzim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, Kaviyachol, planted in Gan Eden, and Yisba'u, they are satiated, and the Arzei Alavon, the cedars of Lebanon, likewise, that he has planted Asher Nata. Om Rav Chanina in the Medrash on this pasuk in Tehillim, in Kuf Dalet in Tehillim, Rav Chanina says, Yisbu Chayen, Yisbu Meimeim, Yisbu Matatam. In other words, these are satiated with life, with water, and they get the status of plants. Ki Chayen Yisodosam Helyonim. And what does the word chayehem mean? Yisbu chayehem, says Rabbi Chanina, in interpreting this pasuk, Yisbu atzei Hashem. He says their life, chayehem, is a reference to yisodosam ha'elyonim. Somehow the foundation is up in the higher worlds, the supernal worlds. That's what's giving them life. Umei mehem, and when it says in Rabbi Chanina, mei mehem, is Otsoro Atov Hamorid Geshem. It comes from Otsoro Atov. Otsoro Atov, which is a posuk in Dvarim, is the source of rain for this world, which literally translates as the goodly storage place of God, and that's what produces rainfall. Umatatan is Kocham Bashamayim. Their status as living plants here in this earth is engendered by Kocham Bashamayim, some heavenly power that controls them. Kmo she'amru, the very famous comment of Chazal in the Medrash, Ein lecha kol eisa v'eisa milamata she'en lo mazal barakiyu v'umaka oso v'yom lo gdol. Gidal. So the Chazal are telling us that every single plant down on earth has a corresponding mazal in the rakia, and v'umaka oso v'yom lo. And this constellation up in Shamayim strikes the plant and says, grow. Shenemar, Hayodata Chuko Shamayim Im Tosim Mishtoro Ba'aretz. A pasuk in Eov, which says the following, do you know the laws of the heavens, or did you place its rule over the land? Tosim Mishtoro means to strike. And this is the heavenly powers in the supernal worlds in Shamayim that give, through the Malachim, they give a bang to the plants down on earth and engender their growth. In other words, the Ramban is here revealing what the nature of Avodas Karbonos is, and the purpose and the power of Karbonos is to bring the bracha from the Elyonim down to the Tachtonim. And the catalyst or the agent that links together the Elyonim and the Tachtonim is the Hakrova of Karbanos. And that's what Adam HaRishon is called upon to do in Gan Eden. So Gan Eden, which as we saw in the Ramban, is Nichpal Lamalo Lamato. There's a Gan Eden down here and there's a corresponding Gan Eden up in the supernal worlds. Is the Ramban proves this from the fact that the avoda of man in Gan Eden is the avoda of Karbanos. I mean, it's impossible to understand the avoda of Karbanos as having any impact in terms of the avoda l'shamer down here in Gan Eden, unless we're talking about some higher world. Because as we said before, the whole purpose and the power of Karbanos is to connect the Tachtonim back up to the Elyonim and to bring the bracha from on high down onto this earth. And therefore, if the Avodas HaKarbonos is really geared towards creating this connection, we'll call it a chibur, between the Elyonim and the Tachtonim, and this is achieved
because the Gan Eden down here corresponds to the Gan Eden up there, and there's something in the Gan Eden down here that is connected to the Gan Eden in the Elyon. So now we understand the avoda of man, and the goal and responsibility of man is to connect the lower worlds with the upper worlds, so that there'll be a shefa from the upper worlds coming down to the lower worlds to give it chiyus, to satiate it, to give it the ability to grow, etc., etc. So the tzmachim, those plants that grow in the Gan Eden Shalmata, in the physical location of Gan Eden on this earth, will live because of the connection that they have to the Elyonim, and the shefa of the bracha that comes from the Elyonim down here, and that is engendered by the Avodas HaKarbonos. So we see that the main purpose of man in Gan Eden, which is Liavdil L'Shomro, is to literally make a chibur that connects the Elyonim and the Tachtonim together. And that's what it means to connect this Gan Eden of Gan Eden Shalmata with the Gan Eden Shalmala. And that is only possible within the context of Yetzira. Because again, in Perek Beis, we saw Yetzira. Yetzira meant that there was a goof, there was a physical being, and that physical being was, in essence, similar to the physical beings that inhabit the earth, the animal kingdom. But God blows a nishmas chayim into the nostrils of this goof, according to the Ramban's thesis, creates a chibur between goof and neshama, which means a connection between the chelik tachton, which is the chelik of the yitzira of Perek Beis, to the chelik elyon, which is the neshama of bria in Perek Aleph. So only in Perek Beis, when the yitzira of man reaches its fruition, when God completes man as one being by blowing a neshama into his nostrils, that's when man has the responsibility of Gan Eden, which again, as we said before, the Gan Eden means the Avdol Shomro. Man has to connect the Gan Eden Shalmata, the Gan Eden Shalmala, through the Karbonos, because the Avodas of Karbonos is a chibur between the Elyon and the Tachton. It brings down all the bracha from on high down to this world, and that's the avoda of man in Gan Eden. That could only be meaningful in the context, in the framework of Yetzira of Perek Beis. So basically, if you ask, what is the place of man? Where is man? And in essence, what is man? The answer is a twofold answer. There's man located in Perek Aleph, so to speak, the Perek of Bria, the Perek of Vikivshua. That's the man of the creation of the Neshama of Hashem. That Neshama is, as we saw, the Nefesh HaMaskeles, the intellect of man, the Koch HaDibur of man, the man, so to speak, the Adam of Perek Aleph, Misefer Bracious, of Bria Yesh Me'ayin, he's the man who could subdue the entire universe. And he's actually called upon to do so, to use his intellect, and to settle throughout the entire world. However, the Yetzira man, which is the Adam HaRishon as a physical being, into which Hashem blows through his nostrils the Nishmas Chaim, the Nisham of God, that Chibur, that connection, that unique integration of two elements, of two dimensions, namely the physical man, a body of Yetzir, which belongs really to the entire animal kingdom, it's common to the animal kingdom, plus the neshama, which is now being blown into that physical man, that process, which is described in Perek Beis as Yetzira, because the chiddush here of Perek Beis above and beyond Perek Aleph is the Yetzira's haguf ha'adam, making man, he man at this stage doesn't belong to Mil'u Es Ha'aretz V'Kivshua, because again, the focal point and the emphasis here is on the dimension of the guf and the chibur between the Elyon and the Tachton. Here, man at this stage in Perek Beis, the man of Yetzira, is given the task of Li'avda L'Shamra, to connect the upper worlds with the lower worlds, in this case through Avodas HaKarbonos. So let's just summarize in two sentences. The Mil'u Es Ha'aretz V'Kivshua relates to the Bria of Adam HaRishon. That's the Bria of his Neshama, the capacity of intellect so that he can become the sovereign
and dominating ruler of all of the world and subdue the entire earth and live and settle in the far-flung parts of it. But the other part of man, which is the Yetzirah part of man of Perek Beis, his avoda is in Gan Eden, because at this point man doesn't have the capacity to reach out to the entire world. He is focused on this particularly of the Lashamra. Only after he achieves that goal through the Yetzirah and he successfully creates that connection, that chibur, between his own guf and his own neshama, and between the Olam HaTachton and the Olam HaElyon, through the Avodas HaKarbonos of the Lashamra, now man becomes a complete being, and he can go out and fulfill the Kivshua through his neshama, and through the Bria of Perek Aleph. So this is in a sense, a two-stage process, the first stage of which is man is completed through the Yetzirah process as an integration of both Neshama and Guf. At that particular juncture, in that, shall we say, chronological stage of man's existence through Yetzirah, man is given the task of Li'ovdo L'shomer Gan Eden to strengthen the Chibur between the Tachton and the Elyon, which is the Chibur between the two different dimensions of man, the Guf and his Neshama, and through the Avodas and Karbonos to trigger off and engender that Chibur between the Elyonim and the Tachtonim. At some later stage, we can look at man as this great being of a Neshama, where the emphasis here is on his intellect, his Nefesh HaMaskeles, and then man, once he's already created the Chibur between the Elyonim and the Tachtonim, he's now ready to go out, conquer the entire earth, subdue all the elements of nature through the power of his intellect, through his Neshama, and fulfill the command of Mil'u Es HaAretz, the Kivshu. All right, we'll stop here.